So last week we started the sixth chapter. We did the introduction and the summary of the first five chapters, and then only did the first verse because the introduction was long. But if you wish to catch up, we do have the talks on firstpower.info where you can listen to the summary that we did last week. So in the sixth chapter, last week we talked about what is sannyas and what is yoga, because people seem to kind of use them interchangeably. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna and then Gurudev in his commentary says that yoga is acting without fruit, without worrying about the results. Does not mean that you don't have a goal in mind, but we have a goal, but as a result of my activity, I may or may not get exactly what I wanted, or I may get part of it, or I may not get it at all. But to put my happiness in the result, that if I get it, I'll be happy, if I don't get it, I'll be unhappy, that is called working for the fruit. And most of us do that. I didn't get what I wanted. Or in life, I get 9 things well, and then 1 doesn't go well, and everything else is good, and then we go to God. You know what happened? All these things are good, but what about this one? So we use God like an ATM machine. You know, every time I put in my card, I should get some joy. And the Lord says, do the action, whatever is required at the right moment, without likes and dislikes. That's very, very important. We'll be talking to the children today also about working without likes or dislikes, because we run after things we like, run away from things we dislike. And so we always judge people also. I like this person, I don't like. I like this job, I don't like. I like this weather, I don't like this. You know, things that we have no control over. And so he says, one who works without worrying about the fruit is a yogi and also a sannyasi. But it is sequential. We'll talk about that little more. But sannyas is giving up the doership or renunciation of actions and not giving up fire. You know, we have an idea of a sannyasi is one who has put on orange clothes, doesn't have a home, and is not cooking. That may or may not be. There might be some householders who are so detached that even when they are cooking, they may be sannyasi. On the other hand, somebody wearing orange clothes, but if his mind is dwelling on objects or senses, then he is not a sannyasi. So that is what Sri Krishna said last week. And today he will continue further explanation of sannyas and yoga, because these are very important subjects. So Bhagavan feels that we need more explanation on that. So we'll spend some time. So we'll do verse numbers 2, chapter 6. Yam sannyasamiti prahuhu.
Yam sannyasamiti prahuhu.
Yogam tam viddhi pandava.
Yogam tam viddhi pandava.
Nah yasanyasta sankalpaha. Yogi bhavati kashchana. Together, yam sannyasamiti prahuhu yogam tam viddhi pandava nahya sanyasta sankalpah yogi bhavati kashchana. So Bhagavan says yam, that which is called sannyasa, sannyasam iti prahuhu. When Bhagavan uses the word prahuhu, means they say. So when he says they say, what does he mean by they say? Great masters, great Vedantic scholars who had written the Upanishads and all the wonderful texts. So Bhagavan is quoting them. So whenever he says prahuhu, means they say, these great masters have said. So what he's trying to say is that this knowledge, what I'm giving you, has already been given by various masters. I'm just presenting in a way that we can understand. See, that's the difference between the Gita and the Upanishads. Upanishads give the same truth, but at a higher level, because the students were a higher level, while the Bhagavad Gita is more pertinent for us who are working in the world. And actually, even the Sanskrit of the Bhagavad Gita is much easier than the Sanskrit of the Upanishads. So the language and the level of explanation, but the final truth is the same. It's not that the Gita is any less or any inferior, but Bhagavan has made it easier for us to understand the difficult concepts with this Gita. So he says, what people call as sannyas, yogam tam viddhi pandava, O Arjuna. What is sannyas is also yoga. So they are both, as we'll see, they're both two sides of the same coin. They are, one is connected with the other. We'll talk about that. So what is called sannyas is also called yogam. And nahi, he means indeed. When he wants to emphasize some point, he, Bhagavan uses the word he, means indeed. Asanyasta sankalpaha. Asanyasta. Sanyasa means to give up. Asanyasa means not to give up. Sankalpa. Sankalpa is a very important word, and we'll talk in some detail about what exactly sankalpa means. It has several meanings. So he says, without giving up sankalpa, yogi bhavati kashchana. Kashchana means no one can become a yogi without giving up sankalpa. So let us see this verse where he says that what is yoga is also sannyas. And then he introduces a new concept called sankalpa, which he has covered in previous chapter one time before, but we'll explain a little bit in more detail today. So sannyas means to give up. That is the first thing. What is sannyas is to give up. Samnyasa, nyasa means to throw, sam means to throw completely. So when a person has thrown away the entire world, thrown away does not mean that he is no longer functioning in the world. He is functioning in the world, but no longer the world has its hold on him or her. That is called a sannyasi. So somebody like Janak Maharaj or somebody like Mirabai, you know, they just were able to throw away the world even though they were living in a palace. So it says start with the big items first. So what do we mean by big items? It's like your house is a mess and there's big things fallen all over, and you know, clothes, and then mess everywhere. And somebody says, you know, clean this house. So what do? You start picking up the little dust particles. You know, well, what are you doing? First, pick up the big items. You know, the clothes and the big, and then you work on the little items. So for us, what is the big item? Big item are these sense objects that I'm so attached to. I want this. I want that. And so first, start by giving up those. The mind is like the small ticket item. After you have done the big ticket, then you clean the dust. So similarly, slowly I have to work on my mind. Start by giving up at the body level. Then mind and intellect should not be attached. And ultimately at the vasana level, the most subtle, where even that inner desire for these objects goes away, as we have talked about many times, that Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. He says that initially you give up the objects, but the rasa, the taste, stays in the mind. The mind says, you know, I have given up sweets, but it's okay, Janmashtami, it's okay, I can have a few sweets. Or whatever, you know, whatever I have given up, it's okay, New Year, I normally I don't drink and I've given up, but New Year, everybody, you know, it's okay, egg drink. And that's how we, so even first is to give up the objects, but then how do I give up the taste in the mind? Param drishtva nivartate. Once you have turn your direction to Om, to the Lord, then automatically the desire drops off from the mind. And in the second chapter also, Bhagavan says, Prajahati yada kaman sarvan parth manogatan atman yev atmana tushtaha sthita prajnasya tadochate. The sthita prajna, the man of wisdom, or of course woman of wisdom, is the one who has given up desires that arise in the mind. And how can I do that? Atmani eva atmana tushtaha. Being content within the self, by the self. So who is the self? The self is Om or the Lord. And when I am established, connected with that Atma, the self, then worldly desires do not affect me. And how do we do our activities? yoga is Ishwar Arpitam. We have talked about that many times, that my actions are dedicated to the Lord. I work for the Lord, and that is my goal, that is my purpose in life. And every activity I do, that's why when we, Swamiji's, when they eat, and we should also be doing that, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi Brahmagnav Brahmanahutam Brahmaivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. So that the food that I am eating is Brahman, the Lord. The one who has prepared the food is also the Lord. The one who is eating me is the Lord. And the one who will be nourished inside when I eat the food is the Lord. And then ultimately, Brahmaivatena Gantavyam. So Brahma Karma Samadhina. And ultimately, the person for whom I am working and the goal I am working is also Brahman. So consuming Brahman that has been prepared by Brahman, whoever has prepared the food or whoever has grown the food. And then I nourish the Lord within so that I may seek the Lord outside. I may seek the Lord outside and inside. Now the word yoga in this verse comes twice and people say, yoga I know, yoga I know. You know, no, actually that's why you need a guru. Because in the first verse, first line where he says, yam sanyasam iti prahu yogam tam viddi pandava, he is referring to yoga as karma yoga. So what is sannyas is the same as karma yoga. And as we said, when you do activities with the attitude of karma yoga without worrying about the results, then slowly as you dedicate your activities to the Lord and say the Lord is working through me, then the doership goes away, and that is sannyas. So it's a sequential. As I give up the results, as I give up the, you know, the attitude that I am doing it, the Lord, Ishwar Arpitam, then automatically the doership goes away. And then the Lord is working through me. He is doing everything. I do nothing. So that's why, that is the first meaning. In the second, when he says, nahi asanyasta sankalpa yogi bhavati kaschana, he's talking about dhyana yogi, the meditator. So in the first line, he says karma yogi. In the second line, he says dhyana yogi. So he says to become a meditator, you have to give up sankalpa, these fascinatory ideas, imaginations. We'll talk about sankalpa. That's why for the Bhagavad Gita, you need a teacher like Gurudev, you know, his commentary or other, listening to all these acharyas. Because just to think, oh, I can study Gita myself, it's not going to happen, because there are these subtle points which are not covered by most commentators. So as we said, sannyasi is the one who has given up desires. Not only given up fire, given up cooking, but he could be living in a palace or living in an expensive home, but if his mind is not attached to objects, not attached to situations, not attached to people, that if this person is in my life, I'm happy. This person is not, I'm unhappy. This object is in my life, or this situation, you know, this weather is there, I'm unhappy, but when it will be fall, I'll be happy. Then you're depending on an external situation, or this job, if I have, I'm happy. If I lose the job, no, I am fine. If I have a job, good. If not, it's not meant for me. Something better will turn up. So that attitude, when you realize that the Lord is the one who is in charge of my life, you and I think, I decide what happens. Actually, we decide nothing. It is the Lord who has given us these ideas, given us this wisdom. And so constantly remembering the Lord as often as we can, if we do that and just invoke His grace and His blessings, that's why in our pledge we say we seek the Lord's grace in, you know, in all our activities. May He work through us, and may my activities. So what is sannyasi? So he says sannyasi is one who has seen the world and realize the world is not going to give me happiness. Seeing the world does not mean he has taken a flight and gone to all the continents and gone to Alaska and gone to Africa. No, he could be just sitting in Bakersfield, or could be sitting in a small village in India, or even in the Himalayas. These rishis, they never traveled anywhere. They stayed in their kutia, they in their meditation, they saw everything that was happening. Not only in this world, They could even see other universes in their contemplation. So what it means is that seeing the world means he has seen what the world can give me. And he has realized that no matter what joy I get from the world, it will be temporary. It will be ultimately result in sorrow. Whatever I get, whether it's a person, whether it's a situation, whether it's an object, sooner or later, it will result in sorrow. And once he has understood that, then his vikshepa becomes less. Vikshepa is the agitations of the mind. Because the mind gets agitated, chasing after objects or thinking about objects. The mind, as it says, leaks out through the senses, wanting to acquire, wanting to possess, wanting to get. So when the mind becomes quiet, when the mind is no longer seeking happiness outside and has found happiness inside, then there is no agitation. And people sit for meditation and they say, you know what, my mind runs so fast. The moment I close my eyes, each and everything. Why? Because we still have desires. We still have... So this chapter, Bhagavan will teach us how to sit quietly and meditate. And what is the benefit of meditation? As we talked last week, what is the process of meditation? What are the obstacles that will come? What are the inner and external adjustments? What are the benefits? And how a meditator, after having got up from meditation, how he or she functions in the world. So now Bhagavan talks about nahi asanyasta sankalpa. So not giving up sankalpa. Without giving up sankalpa, you can never become a yogi. Whether even a karma yogi, gyan yogi, dhyan yogi, none of those yogis you can become without giving up sankalpa. And sankalpa has so many meanings. I actually myself didn't know, but when I read Gurudev's commentary and then I listened to Swami Bodhatmanandaji's commentary, there are actually several meanings of sankalpa. So one is sankalpa vikalpa. Like I get up in the morning on Sunday, you know, I say I have to go to Gita class. And I say, you know what? Sunday is the only day I get to sleep in. Yesterday I had to get up and take my son to soccer practice at 9 in the morning. So Saturday was gone. Ek hi to din mila hai sone ko. Let me sleep in. Forget it. I won't go to Gita. Maybe I'll listen online. See, that's another good excuse people have. Okay, I'll listen online. I don't have. So that is called sankalpa vikalpa. Other sankalpa is when we do puja, like when we did Janamashtami puja, you know, so the Panditji always starts, Mamo Pata Samasta Durita Kshaya Dwara. So Mamo Pata means I have decided this is the puja. And what? Samasta Durita Kshaya Dwara. That may all negativities be destroyed. Samasta Durita. Durita means all the negativities, Kshaya. May all my negativities wrong. Thoda, if you can close the door, please. May all my negativities be completely destroyed. And Parmeshwara Pritiartham. And why am I doing this puja? So, Parmeshwara Pritiartham. May the Lord be pleased with me. Pujam Karishye. So, Mamo Pata Samasta Durita Kshaya Dwara Parmeshwara Pritiartham Pujam Karishye. So I'm doing this puja so that all my negativities may be destroyed and may the Lord be pleased with me. So that is another sankalpa. So before puja, we always do that. Then some people do sankalpa that I will write Om Namah Shivaya 1 crore times or in 1 million, 10 lakh times or 1 lakh. So they sit down, Om Namah Shivaya or Shri Krishna Sharanam. So that is another likhit sankalpa that I will write. I will remember the Lord that many times. And they say actually if you chant the Lord's name, if you say Om Namah Shivaya 5 crore times, you will realize. So simple. Just start doing from today. Any, that doesn't have to be Shiva, any Lord's name. Just do 5 crore times, you will attain enlightenment. So you have another number. Okay, this is the number I have. So start how many should I do every day and how many years I will attain enlightenment. So we have given you a very simple path. You don't need to listen to Gita. You don't need to do anything. Just sit and do likhit japa. So that is another sankalpa. Then sankalpa also means that doing this, I will get happiness. So like when we were in India, right? So we said, when I go to States, I'll be happy. So we come here on our H-1 visa or student visa. When I get green card, I'll be happy. So got green card, you know, I'm alone. When I get married, I'll be happy. And how many people got happiness after marriage? Please raise your hands. No. When I have a baby, when I have a child, that's when unhappiness starts. I mean, of course, having a child is happiness. I'm not saying that. But then all kind of problems, teenage problems, yeah, problem. Then, you know, when he gets married, then married problems, college problems. I have to pay for college. Say, you know what? This job is a headache. So when I retire, I'll be happy. You know, that's the final. At least now I don't have to go listen to the bosses chuck every day. When I retire, what happens after retirement? Everything aches. So this reminds me of a story. So there were these two men who were in their 80s and they said, you know what? I thought retirement will be good. It is terrible. You know, my head aches, my back aches, my knees ache, my feet ache. Everything aches. It's terrible. He said, what about you? Second guy says, I feel like a baby. He said, what? You're 80 years old, you feel like a baby? What do you mean? He said, I have no teeth, I have no hair, and I just wet my pants. You shouldn't laugh because we'll be there soon. So people think that when I get this, I'll be, or people think, you know what, when this body ends, after death, I'll be happy. At least I don't have to deal with all the pains of this. You're not going to be happy if you still have desires and if you have not realized. You'll get another body. You're not going anywhere. Kahin bach ke to ja nahi sakte. You know, immediately you'll start all over again. You'll maybe spend some time in heaven, hell or wherever and then put your back. So only way to give up sankalpa is enlightenment. Realize the truth now here in this life itself. Don't worry about future life, what will happen now. So that is sankalpa, where we postpone our happiness for the future. And then Gurudev in his commentary gives a very beautiful definition of sankalpa, where he says sankalpa is where I have picked upon a goal. Okay, I'm going to accomplish this goal, whatever this goal may be. And then I say from tomorrow, I'm going to start doing that. Like I have a goal that I'm going to do yoga every day. So from tomorrow, I'm going to start yoga. And I wake up in the morning and I say, no, yoga is not good. They say meditation is better. So from tomorrow, I'm going to start meditation. So aaj ka din, one day is gone. And then next day they say, you know what? Meditation is, they say knowledge, gyan is. From tomorrow, I'm going to start reading. So every day we come up with a new goal even before we have started working on. So sankalpa has all these meanings. So that's what the Bhagavan says, without giving up this future, that putting my happiness in the future, you can never become a yogi. So what is sannyas and what is yoga? As we said, they are stepwise. You give up the result of the action, the fruit, and then you give up doership. So yoga comes before sannyasa.